the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it is a Friday afternoon as we head into the night. My name is Rick Ballew. Good to have you with us. A couple of minutes past 6. Tonight till 8, and a lot to look towards as we head full steam towards the weekend. Of course, steam is a great term used in the world of gambling, and for the most part, that's out. Degenerate gamblers are an interesting bunch, if you will, extremely moody, often isolated from everyone else, single in nature. I'm just telling you, I know them and I have known them, and, you know, they're struggling right now. They got nothing to bet on. I'm trying to drop positivity on you. That's what I've been all about here throughout the coronavirus. These numbers are staggering, and they're shocking. Over 100,000 now in the United States. Last look I have, 1,514 deaths up to 1,546. The state of Florida now, 34 deaths, excuse me. 2,900 have tested positive. You just heard Gibby give us a message at the top of the hour on Lot J. No longer do you need a fever of 99.6 to test, so... You know, waiting for the wave to crash. I trust the scientists. You know, I trust the doctors. I don't think we have any other option right now. I have also noticed that there is an increase in activity. There is an increase in traffic. People are moving around a little bit. I think cabin fever has gotten to a lot of folks in a lot of different ways. You know, it's... You've been advised. Everyone is different. Everyone is going to roll with it the way that they see best fit. Just try to do what you want to do. Try to do what you have been told, I guess is what I'm trying to say, not what you want to do. Anyway, that is that. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I hear people say there's nothing going on, nothing to do. You know, they're burning down the Netflix. They're watching this. They're watching that. I don't necessarily feel that way. Sure, I've been getting plenty of entertainment on the tube, no doubt about it, but I found myself today practicing on the short game. First time I had ever done that, strictly the wedge. That was it, a couple of hours worth, just grinding it out there like I was some sort of a player. I'm not. I'm a weekend hack. I'm a guy who's more concerned about the Miller Lite being cold than an accurate read on a 6-foot putt. But I'm trying some different things. Believe me, plenty of social distancing there. There was no one on the practice range where I was today. So kind of cool. We just heard Lauren and everyone talk about the beaches. Or, you know, they're open, they're closed. You got to walk, got to do whatever. So do what you need to do to maintain. Do what you need to do to try and be happy. The most important thing, as always, stay safe. All right, enough of the PSA. Let's move on. A lot to do. It's my final show for a week. I am off next week. I just need some R&R. I am going to do a whole lot of nothing outside of play golf and sit on the beach. I'll find a beach that is open. I don't mind walking a half mile to get there. That's what I'm going to do. And I think the timing for me is perfect. It's after the second week of free agency. It's a month away from the NFL draft. And never have taken a vacation at this time. It's the first time I'm going to do it. I never take my allotted days per year. I don't know if I will this year. Just want to mix one in, get everything recharged, and then come back firing. And by the time I get here during the second week of April, I'm expecting better news. I'm expecting some sort of, you know, some announcements, some wording, you know, dates. Listening to the president last night, talking to Sean Hannity, you know, different parts throughout our country are going to come back before other parts within our country. To me, that's tremendous news. That's better than being told, stay in your home, don't ever come out, and plan on being there for a long, long time. I mean, you have been advised, you have been warned, you have been told what to do. Now, hopefully, again, the wave crashes, it begins to flatten out at least a little bit. I've been following the state of Florida excessively, and it's growing, but not nearly as fast as is obviously New York and New Jersey and some other places. And here in Duval County, is it's alarming. Absolutely it is. But they're getting ahead of it, and I believe they're doing a good job. So maybe you want to try doing some other things. I don't know. That's up to you. I'm going to take next week off, get ready to get back, and then, again, I'm looking for some good things. I'm looking for the draft. I'm looking for some conversations that sound like the return of the NBA playoffs, the return of the NHL playoffs, setting dates along the PGA Tour, particularly the majors. When are we going to have the start of Major League Baseball? The draft is going on as scheduled. Roger Goodell kind of blew a stack last night, basically telling general managers and anyone else within the front office, pipe down. You know, people don't want to hear you complain during the coronavirus about you don't have enough information to get ready for the draft. It's a level playing field. The NFL is going to take advantage of this, whether you agree or disagree. It is an unbelievable opportunity for the NFL. People are starving for sports. Ratings are always off the roof during the NFL draft. Can you imagine what they're going to be like this year? And it's going to be so unusual. Instead of folks going crazy with every pick outside of Philadelphia, I mean, no matter who Philly picks, those fans are going to boo. There'll be no cheering. There'll be no activity. The players, I guess, aren't going to be there. I don't know exactly how this thing's going to work yet. We had Daniel Jeremiah on last night from the NFL Network. He seemed to be a little bit confused and kind of lost at this time. So it's going to be intriguing, and I hope that we get some good stories that come from it. I'm going to get into Herbie here a little bit. I'm not a Kirk Herbstreit, not a guy who dislikes Herbie. I'm not. He's one of the better voices in the world of college football. But the comments that he made they're absurd. They're foolish. The timing is awful. It's just pathetic. Have a little bit of sensitivity to your fans. You don't have to drop a bomb on football as a whole on the 27th day of March when you don't know squat. You don't know anything. You're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. You don't know if this thing's going to break. He's talking about vaccines in a year and a year and a half and giving us hypotheticals if something happens. Just shut up. Seriously. I mean, talk about football. Talk about what you know. Don't talk about the coronavirus like you know exactly what is going to happen 6 months from now. Just shut your mouth. You don't have to answer every question. Couldn't believe he took it that far. I mean, you hear all the time, athletes shouldn't be talking about politics. Athletes shouldn't be talking about this. I've always been like, whatever. They're human beings. They can do whatever they want to do. But when you, right now, and the way I look at Herbie is like the big, proud Herbie, you know, sitting at his desk in Nashville. He had to leave Columbus because the fans there were a little too nasty and naughty to her. So he had to leave, and he went to, and he's just sitting there. You know, he gets the personal flights from game day to where he's doing his Saturday night game, and he's, you know, everyone loves Herbie. Men want to be like him. The women want to be with him. He's got that blue blouse on. He's got that blonde hair, feather back, and Herbie's just going to sit there in late March and tell you, as football fans, there'll be no football this year. I mean, why? Why would you pile on? Give me one good reason, as if every football fan hasn't already gone through their worst fear. But now, one of the biggest mouthpieces in the game has to set a story like this. Like, if you're not suffering enough as a sports fan, personally, professionally, everything you're going through, here you go. Let me drop this one on you. I'm under the belief, and people that I've spoken to, you can just basically forget about the 2020 NFL season. You could just basically forget about the 2020 college football season in March. I mean, that is a whole new world in the terms of jackassery. All right, enough of that. Let's get to some positive news. Mike Norvell, had a chance to catch up with him last night. It was around 7:30, so I want to play that for you right now because I know we have a different audience here during the 6 o'clock hour. Something I've learned in almost 30 years of doing radio. People come, people go. We like it more when people come as opposed to when they go. Right, RJ?
Absolutely right.
Are you a comer or a goer, RJ?
I don't know how to answer this, so I don't want to answer it.
Let's get out of here. Take me to a break. Mike Norvell coming up next.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show is brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now, 0% for 84 months on select models, Buick and GMC. That's 7 years. Also, you purchase a brand new vehicle, Buick or a GMC, that's 120 days, no payments. Folks, you don't have to make a payment until July. All right, lifetime warranty. Powertrain warranty, always in effect, $99 for a leasing program with the Buick Encore. Just phenomenal deals. Visit them right now. Visit them this weekend as well, Saturday and Sunday. All right, I ran it last night around 7:15. Got quite a bit of reaction late last night, but I want to rerun it now and get your feedback on my interview with Mike Norvell. He has got a tough challenge ahead of him. No question about it. I caught up with Florida State's head coach last night. First thing I asked him is, how hard is it to get through everything considering what we're dealing with right here, not only in Florida, but in the United States?
Everything's going well. It's just kind of a wild times, but you know, our guys are handling it well and getting accustomed to Zoom video conferencing and doing things a little bit different than we normally do.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the adversity. Here you are in front of you, asked to rebuild one of the great blue bloods in college football, and then all of a sudden this happens. You only get the opportunity to have 3 spring practices.
Yeah, that's it's challenging, especially in year one. Just you know, we've seen such great growth in the short period of time that we've been here. You know, you look at the off-season program, our winter conditioning, your tour duty drills. I mean, some of the things we're doing academically as a program. You know, our guys have been able to see the benefits or and really some of the payoff of all the work that they've been putting in, and we were hopeful to be able to see that same thing happened in spring practice, but we were able to get an introduction to it. We're hopeful that you'll be able to get a couple more practices. Maybe whether it's a summer or the early start. I mean, just to be able to get that here at some point in the future. But it's just I tell our guys all the time, you can control what you can control, and the only thing we control right now is our response, and we're working away trying to get better with each day that we have.
But Mike, how do things work right now with everything being closed the way that they are? Is it video communication with your assistant coaches? Are you allowed to phone your players, Skype your players? How does that work now during this particular time?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of different video conferencing and just staying in constant contact with our staff. Put together a plan. Working remotely to be able to maximize each day and plan to communicate with our players. There are some restrictions. The ACC has come out and we can't have any sports specific meetings or anything in those regards unless it was all on a voluntary basis. So we're very limited in what we could do. We have provided our guys with all individual workouts that they can do on their own, while they're at home. But it is a challenging time, and it's one of those things that I told our team, this is an opportunity to show some of the maturity that we've gained. Now we've got to put it into action, and this is going to be critical for our development. And it's just the thing that's unfortunate is that having to do it all in different places, it just adds to the. To what we're being asked to do, and some of the, like you said, the adversity is really, shown up, and all we can do is try to respond the best way we possibly can.
Mike Norvell, Florida State's head coach, joining us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Mike, one of your last press conferences, you talked about how happy you were with weight gain, weight loss. I want to say the number was close to 600 or close to 700 pounds. Just strength and conditioning as a whole, so important, yet I thought it was neglected the last couple of years at Florida State. Just tell us about Josh coming aboard and some of the changes that you've seen in the early part here with your team.
Yeah, I'm not really going to talk about what was done before. All that our focus has been, to what we could do at the present. And I think Josh Storms is one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the country. He has done a wonderful job in implementing a plan for our guys to grow in every aspect. And just looking at the body weight, and that's coupled with everything. Obviously Josh and his staff, Marissa and our nutritional plan, or our nutritional team that you're helping our guys develop a plan to be able to either gain weight or lose weight, and then the players themselves, the commitment to actually going out there and executing what we've laid in front of them. But to see that type of growth, there's 695 pounds, across our team in positive gains or losses. For each player, and that's been something that I've been really pleased with, and we're excited about where the future can go with that. And it's one of those things that has kind of helped motivate our guys during this time of having to be away. Is they want to maintain and even continue to build upon what we've done during the short stint that we've been here.
I'm sure when you get a chance to look back at tape over the last couple of years, you've noticed that the offensive line has really been a concern, despite some very talented backs. Alex Atkins comes in now. It's the fourth different offensive line coach in 4 years. Just your overall thought and expectation on being able to turn that part of this football team around.
Well, I mean, I think, offensively there's been some good challenges in general. I mean, you've had four different offensive coordinators in 4 years, the four O-line coaches. I mean, there's been a lot of changes. And get everybody on the same page, continuing to work in the same direction, understanding what the expectation is. And I believe Alex is a phenomenal teacher of fundamental talents, and those are things that with our guys, we're excited about who we have, we're excited about who we've been able to add, and now it's about getting all five guys playing as one. And that's something we understand takes time, and it's going to take a great deal of work to get us to that point.
Mike, I look at your offense, and I've done a lot of research and watched what you did at Memphis. But, I've seen it be called a pro style of offense. I've seen two backs, two tights. I've seen three and four wide receiver formations. Do you have a set offense, or do you tailor make your offense based on the talent that you have with your team?
Yeah, we pride ourselves in the versatility of what we're able to do, but it all is going to tie to the strengths of our team and the guys that we have. We've done a little bit of everything. We've had years where we've rushed for over 4,000 yards. I think every year that either being an offensive coordinator or head coach, I think the worst year we've ever had throwing was 3,200 yards. So I mean, we've always had great balance. But it's always going to focus on the skills and the talents of our players. And, we consider ourselves a pro-style offense that plays with great tempo. And, it's always about trying to find the best matchup that we possibly have each and every week.
What did it mean to you, and what does it mean to the team, that Tamron Terry came back for his senior year, and also Marvin Wilson?
Oh, I mean, I think it's huge. It's you get two of the best players in college football. I think it made a great statement to what this program means to them. It's a wonderful compliment to this staff and the confidence that these guys have in how they're going to be developed. And like I told them at the beginning, they're not making a decision to come back to improve a status. They're making a decision to come back to leave a legacy. And these guys have done some remarkable things in their career. We've got an opportunity to go out there and continue to elevate their level of play and elevate the level of play of this Florida State football team, and they get to be a great impact in making that happen.
You know, coaches all the time will say they can control what they can control. They don't worry about things they can't control. And you're a very smart guy, Mike, but do you have any understanding at all as to what this Florida State fan base has gone through the last 3 years and just how important it is for FSU to get back to where they once were, let's say go back 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why this was such a great opportunity and the right fit, because I think when you look at the history of Florida State football, it's one that is it's one of the most iconic brands, iconic programs in all of college football. And there is an expectation of competing for championships year in and year out. And, it's kind of not been there these last few years. And we're excited about the process to try to improve and get better and put ourselves back to where I believe this program deserves to be. And all we can control is the day that's in front of us. And if we go out there and maximize the potential that we have, I've got a lot of confidence in this group and this coaching staff that we'll get back to where we belong to be.
Well, Mike, I tell you what, I'm on board here. I've been doing everything I can out here in Jacksonville to try to get this fan base excited, and for the most part, they are. Only concern that I have out of everything you've done so far, which I really like, is the rule at the Moore Center with hoods and with earrings. Why take it to that extreme?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily a rule. It's just an opportunity for guys to showcase their sacrifice for this team. And the hardest thing in life to do is to sacrifice for something bigger than yourself. And, we provide that opportunity each and every day. And, our guys have really embraced that. And, whenever it's you provide opportunities and guys will either take ownership to it or they won't. And it's something I've seen this team really embrace. And, I'm excited that they're doing that.
All right. I mean, I hope it really works. I do. I know it says a lot about character, but I just worry about a 40-degree night against the Gators, and here comes a 5-star recruit, and he's got a hood on, and he can't wear it in there. Then Florida or Georgia or whoever uses it, against you in Florida State. That's my only concern.
Well, obviously you don't really understand what it's all about, so that's for guys that are in our program and guys that are a part of our program. And at the end of the day, if that's the reason, then those guys are they're listening to a lot of other factors that not really going to apply to them being successful. So it's something that our guys believe in, and it's definitely worked well throughout our staff and our coaching careers. So we'll continue to do what we think is put our guys in the best position to be successful.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I wish you the very best. I appreciate a few moments of your time, and hopefully everything gets back to some normalcy here. Thanks for joining us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on, and go Noles.
All right, Mike Norvell, that is an interview I did yesterday. I wanted to replay it today because I did it in the 7 o'clock hour on Thursday, and I wanted to get that out there right now. I really enjoyed it. I like him. I am behind him 100%. Unfortunately, most of the reaction that I got is the end of the conversation. I don't agree with that. It's my opinion. I don't like it. But I also believe that you need to look at everything that we talked about. I mean, the guy has so much in front of him. He has so many changes that he's trying to make. at Florida State. And this is going to be a brutal job to try to change this thing around. That's part of the reason why I don't like the Moore Athletic Center rule. There's just too much. There's too many changes. There's too many things. And I'm going to share that with you on the other side. I'm a little surprised, and again, maybe I'm not, which I know doesn't make any sense, but then again, neither does Florida State over the last 3 years. It's been a freaking dumpster fire. And, I mean, how many stepdaddies does that program need? Okay? These kids need guidance. These kids need discipline. These kids need stature. Jimbo quits. Odell comes in. New rules. Willie comes in. New rules. Willie sucks. Odell replaces him. New rules. Mike Norvell comes in. New rules. So you've had in 3 years, four new coaches. And it's not working. Jimbo Odell. Willie Odell, now Mike Norvell. I support everything that Mike Norvell has done except for this one rule. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I'm going to tell you why on the other side. I want to hit this break on time. We'll come back. We'll get into that. I've gotten a ton of reaction on it. I'm a little disappointed that the only reaction is to that part of the interview. I thought I covered a lot of stuff with him about his offense, about his strength training, about just everything that he is ready to bring into it. And people are jumping and they feel I'm at odds with him. I'm not at odds with him. I'm not at odds with him at all. I am completely supporting this guy. I don't like this one rule. Florida State is not a good enough football team right now to set this rule. I'll tell you about that on the other side.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you till 8, and it's a Sports Den. Final thoughts on the Mike Norvell interview. Because I am excited about what he can bring to this program. It's not going to be easy for him. And I have voiced my opinion on this rule from the get-go. And I just don't like the approach on it. I mean, they had a release on it. It was like a big deal. It was like a presentation to the local media. I mean, everyone has rules. Then he tells me it's not a rule. He tells me it's a sacrifice. Well, in every business, every team, every family, every home, everyone has things that you have to fall in line. You have to fall in order to some extent. You don't have to make an announcement to everyone. I don't know why this came out as an announcement. If maybe he was scared that it was going to leak from one of his players. And I'm not even worried about the current players or the players they get in there. My whole approach on all of this at the Moore Athletic Center has to do with recruiting. That's the issue that I have. Florida State is not a good enough football team right now to have these type of rules. They're not. Now, this whole thing has been screwed up. The end of Jimbo, Willie Taggart, and, you know, you just look at Florida State's front office. You look at their presidency, and you look at their athletic director, and you look at Ed Burr, main guy on the chair, lives right here in Jacksonville. The way they handled the pursuit of Mike Norvell, it sucked. It was awful. It was atrocious. I mean, for crying out loud. It's pretty simple. Mike, do you want the job? I know you've got a huge game coming up against Tulsa. I know that matchup against Cincinnati is the world is going to stop. I mean, who can't get fired up for Memphis against Cincinnati? who can't get fired up for Memphis against Tulane? Are you kidding me? Do you want the job or not? I mean, I honestly thought that Florida State knew that Tom Brady was leaving and that Belichick was coming in the way that they waited to get this done. But that's because they got a bozo front office. Okay? I mean, I remember watching Dan Hicken on the news one night. Hicken, I think he listed every coach was available for this job and said no to this job outside of Vince Dooley. Bob Stoops, Mark Stoops, James Franklin. I mean, you went through every coach in America got a raise because of Florida State. So you go through this pecking order, and you allow the media and the talk shows and the fans and Twitter to go nuts and everyone. So these kids now, who again, it's like stepdaddy you. You know the woman who it's finally she's going to realize it's her fault when she's working like on her fourth marriage and fifth marriage and sixth fiance. Sooner or later, someone's going to say, the problem is you. Well, look at these kids. Jimbo's my coach. No, he's not. It's Odell. Willie's my coach. No, he's not. It's Odell. Mike Norvell's my coach now. Yeah, he was Florida State's 19th choice. But he's got all these rules. Can't wear a hoodie. Can't wear an earring. You can't wear a headset. All these rules. I like everything he's doing. I hate this. Florida State's not good enough for this. Florida State's not recruiting against the Gators. They're not recruiting against Georgia and Clemson and Alabama. Look at where they got these three stars. And again, he started so late because Florida State's clown show front office waited forever to hire this man. So they got a late start on recruiting, and then they settled on all of these three stars, pulling them away from powerhouses such as Arkansas State, Boston College, Louisville. I mean, it's the worst recruiting class they've had since the days of Daryl Mudra. You know what Daryl Mudra is?
I don't, but that name really seems to roll off the tongue.
He was the coach prior to Bobby Bowden in 1974 and 1975.
Well, I mean, now you're naming a coach that was way, way, way before my time.
I believe if you look him up, he went 4-18. Worst recruiting class they've had since Daryl Mudra. Okay? And that's my fear. And that's what I said. Try to be professional and respectful. 3:30 kick, Florida State, Florida. Okay? Early signing period right around the corner. 40-degree brisk day. It's always that way in late November. Sun goes down, lights are on, game ends at 7 o'clock. It's cold. Where does everyone go? Where do all the recruits go? They go to the Moore Athletic Center and make their way into the locker room. They meet all, they kissing babies, slapping backs, they're doing all that type of. Then again, according to Herbie, we won't even freaking have football this year. But anyway, let's go back to our pipe dream. This guy's got Bama. He's got Florida. He's got Georgia. He's got Clemson. Would you? Florida State's on this short list. Five-star, the ego, the attention. Excuse me, sir, who in the hell do you think you are? Take that hoodie off. You're in the Moore Athletic Center. It is today's culture. It is today's style. The kids wear the hood. I see it on the road with the Jaguars. I see it in NFL buildings, whether they're playing in 80, 90-degree days, whether they're playing indoors. Athletes, kids, like to wear hoodies. I can't get away with wearing a hoodie. I can't get away with wearing an earring. These kids like to wear them. Florida State's not good enough right now to say to a possible five-star, take that hoodie off. If they were winning 10 games a year like Florida, or they were a national champion contender like Bama or Clemson, or knocking on the door like Georgia, then you can make up these type of rules. You can't when you haven't won a road game in a couple of years. At least they didn't under Willie Taggart. And you can't when you're switching out a coach every other year. Four offensive coordinators, four offensive line coaches. These kids need stability. I'll give them stability. That son of a gun ain't wearing no earring in my building. Oh, that'll tell them. Congratulations. That's going to tell them. The earring. Old school's gone, man. I'm as old school as they come. I played high school football for a jackass that thought that water on the field was for sissies. I'm all about old school. But I'm also smart enough to understand that you better change with the times. How did old school work for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Tom Coughlin? How did that franchise rebel to old school? So wake up. I like everything he's doing, but this, and to take the role, if he doesn't do it our way, we don't need him here. Are you kidding me? Florida State needs five stars and four stars. They're bringing in three stars from guys they took away from Arkansas State. Well, if they don't want it, you know, we don't want him here. Oh, okay. He's a good coach. He won with three stars. He won with guts and blue collar and effort. He didn't recruit four stars. He had like four on his team at Memphis. You're not going to win with those type of players at Florida State. You may savage a 7-5 year this year with it. The only way you're going to win is when you get back to bringing in the best players in America. Why did Bobby Bowden win? Because he had the best players in America. Why did Jimbo Fisher win? He had the best players in America. You're not going to win with discipline. You and I both, by the way, Mike Norvell and his whole discipline, if I really wanted to be a jackass to him, I would have brought up the fact that his team at Memphis every single year is one of the most penalized teams in college football. Florida State is always one of the most penalized teams in college football, so they have that in common. Why don't you work on not jumping off sides, lining up right, doing the right thing, stop making penalties, as opposed to not wearing an earring into the freaking Moore Athletic Center. It's too much for these kids. You're changing too many things. I loved his tour of duty. I loved his mat drills. I want to buy into his offense. I want to believe it's getting better. I don't support this move. I think this is a mistake. Ballou's opinion is officially correct and over.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Where are those ladies at, RJ?
Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?
Ain't in Glenn's Liquors, I know that. No hoodies allowed in Glenn's Liquors.
No earrings at Glenn's Liquors.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? No baggy pants, sir. No headphones. Said I would end with it. I'm a liar. I'm not a liar. I'm just a contradiction in terms. Yeah, I remember the first Super Bowl I ever went to. I was with my brother. It was Lord Favre, Reggie White, and former Jacksonville Jaguars Desmond Howard and Andre Bad Moon Rising against the New England Patriots, and it was in New Orleans. And I'm not going to mention the beer because it's a competing beer of Miller Lite, which pays my mortgage. But remember when it was a ladies' night commercial, and it was if you drank this certain beer, it was ladies' night, they were giving out free beer to ladies. So these guys with mustaches and all this type of stuff dressed as ladies. And they looked absurd. They looked ridiculous. It's like the idiot who does it. Thinks he can pick up chicks on Halloween. It's always like the worst look ever. The guy's got no shot at all of picking up a lady. None. He's usually overfed. You know, the girls think it's kind of funny and cute, but they never go home with him. You know those type. The guys who dress for Halloween as ladies. But anyway, these guys were hilarious, and they were for a competing beer. And I'm with my brother, and we're up on a balcony, and we're just having a great time. It's like two nights before, the night before the Super Bowl. I don't know what it was. Obviously, we look out, and like, Jeff, look, and here come the group of those girls and that old commercial. And it was like a very successful commercial that went on for probably like a year, year and a half, where they kept rotating them. And anyway, I remember they used that song during their campaign. And I won't give them any credit because they are not the beer that I drink, which is Miller Lite. All right, we're in there a second now. Man, I'm getting just a ton here, a ton of feedback from people. You know, all I can tell you is that I like everything else about what this guy's doing. I don't like this. And Florida State's not good enough for this right now. They're just not. Florida State is not a blue blood. This is not your daddy's Florida State. This is not your older brother's Florida State. And I think that this man can take them back to it. 1186, Wild Blue really not going to set them up for success in the real world, but change the playbook and add and delete plays to the NFL. They'll gladly have heard of that. Out here, in the real world, every time you get a new boss, you get new rules. We don't like all of them. No, absolutely. But again, you're talking about Odell Hagans after Jimbo Fisher. Then it's Willie Taggart. Then it's Odell Hagans. Now it's Mike Norvell. You keep switching them out. I mean, these young 18 to 21, 22-year-olds, their head is spinning. Four offensive coordinators, four offensive line coaches. They need stability. And everyone's got new rules. And this guy's laid down a ton of them. And I've agreed with virtually everything that he has done. This one, though, is over the top for me. It's a lack of the understanding of today's culture, today's kid. And again, the best example I can give you is look what happened right here in Jacksonville. The Lombardiism is gone. Tom Coughlin failed miserably. They rebelled against him at the pro level. You got to find a way to separate discipline from old school. It's not the way it used to be. It will backfire. And there's too many rules right now over there in God's country. That's the only one I don't like. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Florida State head coach Mike Norvell. It's tough on him. I mean, crying out loud. Three practices and, you know, they shut it down. And that is scary. That is absolutely awful that has taken place. But, you know, that is what they are dealing with right now. All right, we got a lot to get into here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We're going to be going out to Key here in just one second because they've got a great opportunity. And I want to head out there. I'm just figuring out a way to work these communications as far as the phones. A little something screwed up here. So, RJ, I have you take care of that, and we'll head out to Key Buick, Key GMC in just a couple of moments. As we've been doing that here now around the clock, the next couple of weeks, you're going to get more and more of that, an opportunity to hear from some of our sponsors, and you're going to hear from mine as well over the next couple of weeks. And I'm always talking to you about the great relationship I've had now forever at Key Buick, Key GMC, where I've purchased several different cars, including one for my daughter. I have driven around the GMC Sierra 1500, just maxed for the last couple of years, and I love it. And Derek Archer joins us right now from Key Buick, Key GMC. Derek, how you doing?
Rick, doing good considering everything, buddy. How about you guys?
Man, we're doing great. You know, the NFL is open, so it's given us plenty to talk about, but I had a chance to come by and I try to get over there as much as I can and visit with you guys yesterday, and seems like everything's going okay considering.
Considering everything, Rick, it really is.
Well,
it's a hard time for everybody, and everybody's a little scared. Sometimes a little normality with a little structure really does help.
I love you guys. I love what you do, and you talk about a stimulus package. When, you know, I was given this by Victoria a couple of, I guess about a week and a half ago, and I saw 0% for 84 months on select models Buick and GMC. I almost could not believe what I was reading. Derek, you purchase a new vehicle right now over a Key. 7 years, no interest.
7 years, no interest. Rick, you know that right now they're also doing 120 days till first payment with that program. And think about that statement for a minute. 0% interest, 84 months. And defer payments for up to 120 days at no cost to the customer. I mean, just GM's doing all that they can. We're doing all that we can. And, you know, our store for a long time is a very clear, fair pricing store. We're very aggressive. We don't do the fake rebates and, you know, get you in under a false pretense for something you don't qualify for. We try to be as competitive and aggressive as we can up front and fair with the customer, and that's something we've really become known for.
All right. What about those? Let's get straight to the point. What about those that are extra cautious at this point? And, you know, certainly there are many out there who are. What advice do you give them that, yeah, they're interested, yeah, they want to look at a new vehicle, but maybe right now they're a little bit timid about coming in and seeing you? Do you advise to go online? Do you advise to give you a call personally? What would you like to see?
But I'd like to see all of the above, Rick. We're a very studious dealership. What we're doing right now is we're going and we can have customers do a complete deal online. They can do everything from pick out their vehicle, appraise their trade, everything. Then we can finalize it. We can go to them, Rick. We can deliver the car to them. We've had several customers that request to come in, look at the vehicle, see everything online, come see the vehicle, drive it real quick, and then leave and finish, you know, for lack of a word, the hard stuff. And really, you know, negotiating it for us is very easy. But, you know, finish the paperwork and the back and forth, getting everything finished, you know, from the house, from the place where they feel safe, secure. Then waiting a few days, coming back when the car is clean and ready for them. Swing in, do paperwork. We've got a crew that comes through every night and cleans the store. We've got two or three employees that go through on a couple-hour basis, wiping down door handles and doing everything we can to help protect not just ourselves but our customers. I mean, they're our lifeblood.
Talking to Derek Archer. He's with Key Buick, Key GMC, right across the street from Tinseltown at Southside in Gate. Again, I'm getting ready to get my GF, a brand new Buick, probably in April. I have bought my cars there the last couple of years, and they're a proud sponsor of us here on the home of the Jaguars, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Again, what they have right now, 0% for 84 months on select models, Buick and GMC. Tell us about some of the GMCs. I mean, I'm not bashful, and Derek, I say this all the time. I think I have the best truck in Jacksonville. I honestly do. Mine is fully maxed. It is on steroids. I absolutely love it, but I know that there are plenty of GMC Sierras on the lot.
But, Rick, we have everything from somebody who just needs a standard work truck or something to move around the family on the weekend, all the way up to a lifted truck. We've got our new diesels that are absolutely amazing. Rick, and you just saw some of the literature on a few weeks ago. That new diesel 1500 series we have is getting gas mileage in excess of 32 miles per gallon.
Wow.
32 miles per gallon. So, I mean, it's an amazing vehicle. We're blessed with the product, and there's still advances coming. Did you see the little tidbit that she gave you about the new Hummer coming, all electric here shortly?
Really? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
All right, so that's coming back. So, and of course, a $99 leasing option per month available as well for, right?
It currently is. The Buick Encores have a $99 per month lease.
Mm-hmm.
Various trim levels, you know, depending on what each customer wants. So we can tailor it to whatever the customer needs. If they need something, a little bit of a break on payment, they just want something with a fair payment for a nice period of time, we can work with every situation over here.
Yeah, $99 per month, the leasing option that is available for you right now to lease a Buick Encore that is only available over there at Key. All right, Derek, hey, we appreciate a few minutes. Again, 7 years, 0% interest on models Buick and GMC. Again, you don't have to make a payment until summertime. That's July. It really doesn't get any better than this. Key has been around here in Jacksonville for more than 50 years, and we appreciate the stimulus package that you're giving to the folks here in Jacksonville, and hopefully we'll all be back on our feet and rolling here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Be safe, everybody.
There he goes, Derek Archer. Good to talk with him for a couple of moments. And Key, that is Key Buick, Key GMC. They really are some good people. I have had, you know, plenty of options to buy vehicles at different places, and I was pretty picky about it. I was. You know, I really took my time and sniffed out a couple of different places and went where I was most comfortable. And Derek's a real good guy. Steve over there is a real good guy. Conrad Lynch, who I've known. Jeffrey Moore, who heads up the auto service. I mean, they're just all. They're really good people. And I try to associate myself with the good people, the sponsors that I bring on to our radio station there. You know, I just don't go to anyone who wants it. I'm pretty particular about it because I plan on being here for a very long time. So want to do it the right way. And those people at Key are absolutely sensational. So good to have them with us for just a couple of minutes. You'll hear more of that. I know you've already heard some of it. We're bringing some of our sponsors. Hey, listen, I mean, everyone is feeling the crunch here during the coronavirus, okay? I see what is happening with our economy. I see what has happened. I mean, look at the Dow. I understand the battle that's going on right now about recouping some of this money and all the people who are out of work, and I think that there's going to be a very unfortunate situation here where there'll be businesses that aren't going to be able to get back on their feet whenever things return to at least somewhat normal. It's hard on so many folks. So I think that, you know, giving attention to special sponsors and companies that stay and continue to work hard despite these times and have been a long time partners with us. Absolutely. And that's Key. Key is one of them. You'll hear from some of my others coming up here over the next couple of weeks. Of course, I'm not going to be here next week, but I'm going to be bombing around Florida in that GMC Sierra 1500 from the good folks at Key. All right. When I return, maybe a little bit more on this with FSU. Every time I try to get away from it, they pull me back in. It's just I'm getting so much reaction on it. And so I'll see. But, I want to bring up what Prisco said as well about Jameis. We'll play that for you. That was a little bit earlier today on Frank's show. That's some interesting stuff. And, you know, there's also a couple of other NFL nuggets that I want to get to. So all that's coming up as we roll till 8. I'm Rick Ballew. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, 7:21. Rick Ballew with you till 8 tonight. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, JJ coming up at 8 Friday night. Doris Burke has tested positive for the coronavirus. Apparently, she doesn't have any of the symptoms anymore. That's good news. And, you know, that comes on the heels. I was reading earlier today that the Utah Jazz, the entire roster has been cleared That includes Rudy Gobert. Remember, he was the first player to test positive for. Boy, doesn't that – is it me, RJ, or does it seem like that story was like 3 months ago?
Oh, that feels like a lifetime ago. It feels like sports, everything that happens feels like it happened in dog years.
Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert have been cleared. The entire roster has been cleared, and the entire staff has been cleared. So they tested everyone, you know, in and around these players. So, you know, there's some good news there. I think that, you know, myself included, I find myself as I – well, and as I say that, I don't know why on my cell phone, out of everything that I do, I get updates from People Magazine. Did you do that? Did you get a hold of my phone? How do I get People Magazine update? I mean, all my updates are sports related. I only use Twitter for sports. But somehow I get updates from People, and people just came in here right now and told me that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson make a joyful return to Los Angeles after the coronavirus virus diagnosis. So apparently, you know, they're doing better as well. We're not hearing enough about those who are recovering. As I was saying about the numbers, I'm a stickler for them here. You know, you put on the news. If you, you know, watch Fox or anything else. Anyway, when you watch the news, I mean, they're keeping like a rolling statistic of confirmed positive tests and deaths. And man, it's like these are human lives we're talking about. It's awful. But, you know, I've noticed that every network is doing it. But I don't think there's enough credit being given to those who have tested, and they weren't positive. You know, they're giving us positive tests, deaths, and those who have been cured. I'll give you the latest numbers here, then I'll get back to some sports. But, I mean, this is part of sports now. It's a huge part of it. My day was going great today until Herb Street opened up his mouth. That was unbelievable. Why a guy would make a comment like that at this particular point. All right, here's the very latest in the United States. This is what I'm talking about. There are now 101,866 positive coronavirus cases in the United States of America. How many have been tested? That's what I want to know. I mean, is that... I heard our president say last night, I want to say I believe over 500,000 have been tested. 1,590 deaths, so you can do the math there. It's about 1.5%. 2,471 have actually recovered. The state of Florida is not growing like a lot of other states, okay? I want to say I had him at 6 the other day as far as states. Let's see, at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 in the United States. The eighth most as far as total cases, 2,900. Deaths up to 34. It's a very large number. And, of course, New York, 519. So those are the numbers right now. Lenny Curry, our mayor, who I spoke with on Monday, had him on the show right out of the gate, you know, to give us the latest on what was going on here in Jacksonville. Let me find you. Lenny Curry tweeted this out 49 minutes ago. I know Gibby mentioned it and RJ mentioned it, but I want to bring this to your attention. Okay, this is very important. This is an update for the citizens of Jacksonville, Florida. Our mayor said we are opening the criteria for the COVID-19 testing at Lot J. You don't need to have a fever. Remember, before you needed to test and have a fever of 99.6 in order to go to Lot J. And I understand why that was. I mean, there are people who worry for the sake of worrying, and with the lack of technology, the lack of everything, the devices to test, and you didn't want people originally going for the sake of just taking the test. You wanted to try to do what you could to leave that to those who actually do have these symptoms, which is a fever, a cough, shortness of breath. Lenny Curry says, we are opening the criteria of COVID-19 testing at Lot J. You don't need to have a fever. Patients must still either exhibit respiratory symptoms or be a first responder or healthcare worker who has had direct contact with a patient. So that's better news. You know, now for those who have been worrying and you just want to clear your mind, head to the football, head to the stadium right there at Lot J, where you can take a test. And hopefully that'll make you feel much better. Roger Goodell, in his own little way, kind of responded to this by basically coming out and saying, hey, listen, the draft will go on as scheduled, and you better not say anything about it. I don't want to hear any more complaints. If so, disciplinary action could be taken. Almost unheard of from the commissioner, who's always been a puppet for the owners, who's always done, I think, a wonderful job of not saying anything. Kind of changed this year, I think, with the two games being announced in London here with Jacksonville. I think that, in my opinion, Roger Goodell did a real nice job by letting everyone know here as well as across the country that there's not going to be an NFL franchise in London. You can forget about that. So as down as Jag fans were after the second announced game in London, and still are to some extent, it was good to see him be somewhat transparent about that. Now today, though, this is really the first time that I can, you know, I mean, listen, he's had words with Spygate and Deflategate and things along those lines. But coming out here as a group and saying all 32 general managers, jam it up. And you read between the lines here, it's pretty simple. You know, we are dealing with a tragedy in our country. And for a lot of people, just having football to talk about has been a tremendous diversion. The fact that the NFL doors were left open, here it is week two of free agency, and we're 27 days away from the NFL draft. You know, I don't ever have to worry about anything to talk about. I can always find, and I work all the time behind the scenes to try to come up with things that I'm going to talk about, and RJ Saunders comes up with things that we're going to talk about. That's my job. But it absolutely has been made a lot easier with the NFL being open. And I think Roger Goodell sees that, and he understands that's what people are talking about right now. They're talking about pro football because it has been an absolute avalanche as far as the storylines that have gone down in the last 2 weeks. I mean, it is out of this world. Some of the comings and the goings, you know, starting with Tom Brady all the way down. And it's going to continue with the NFL draft. And with folks being sick and folks losing their life, I think the last thing that the NFL wants right now is to hear that people are saying, I don't have the proper information to make a draft pick. It's a level playing field. I get it. I understand that these general managers now are having to, they're being forced to do something they've never done before. They have to go out and make draft selections without properly taking it through every channel. Now, there's some cat and mouse in this. I know they didn't bring Blake Bortles in for a visit. I know there's times where you don't go. There's times where you know, you really want a guy, but you don't go visit the guy or bring the guy in because you don't want to send a message to another team that you really like that guy. But their 30 visits are important. You want to be able to bring in the 30 interviews that you can. You want to bring them into the building. The Skyping is not enough. The telephone conversations are not enough. How will this change things in the future? It'll be very interesting. I mean, there's so much put into going on campus, going to college football games during the season, watching these guys play, put on the tape, go to the East-West Shrine, go to the Senior Bowl, go to the Combine, do your homework. But now the last part of it, they don't have the opportunity to bring these guys in, sit them down, put them up on, you know, in front of a chalkboard, tell them that you're playing this position. How do you look at what we do here defensively? This is what you've been doing in college. This is what we want you to do in the NFL. What do you think about it? Meet everyone in the building. Different opinion. What do you think of this man? Those with question marks, character related, red flags. You got to take a shot on a guy. Man, you want to sit down with him. You're only allowed 15 minutes at the combine. I get that. That's troublesome. What about those who have been injured? And we talked to Chris Landry about this last night. The whole recheck of the physicals, typically scheduled for April 10th. 50 to 75 guys this year at the combine who have injuries that they're rehabilitating. Injuries that, how much have they progressed since the combine? You know as well as I, these guys want to play. If I'm Dave Caldwell and I pick up the phone and I'm talking to so-and-so, how's the leg? Oh, man, I'm fine. It's good to go. Of course that's what they're going to tell you. Very rarely, and you see it in game. Even though my job as a sideline reporter for the Jaguars, I am never allowed to report what I hear. I can only report what I see. I also do hear. I don't report it. I love my job. Okay? But let me tell you something. These guys want to play. Okay? They always want to play. Hey, Dave Caldwell here. You know, what's going on with the shoulder? Oh, man, the shoulder's fine. I'm ready. Draft me. That, you know, they don't get the recheck here on April 10th. That's huge. So, I understand why general managers are like, wait a minute here. Let's push this thing back. Then again, does it really even matter, RJ? According to Kirk Herbstreit, we're not even going to have a football season this year. It's March 27th, and rocket scientist Dr. Herbstreit says no football season.
Don't even worry about it. Shut up.
Did you just put a hoodie on? No hoodies in my studio. I gave you that rule a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't put the hood on. You just said I could wear the hoodie.
Let me ask you one question. I'm going to be on vacation next week. You'll be in here. Denny, James, are you going to sneak a hoodie on?
I'm not going
to. When I'm out here?
I'm not going to put the hood on.
Because I have feelers. I have moles. I have sauces.
You got rats
I got sauces.
Now, rats!
Did you see the video of the rats that are on Bourbon Street that went viral the other night? Did you see that?
Huge.
Oh, my God. I mean, just scary. I mean, Bourbon Street, let's be honest about it. It's the armpit of the South. But it's also kind of, you know, you kind of want to go every once in a while. I went way, way, way too many times when I was a student at FSU. Mardi Gras every year, Sugar Bowls, FSU Tulane games, FSU Baton Rouge, LSU games. Hell, I went to a jazz festival once. I didn't even like jazz. That's how much I like going to New Orleans. But, man, the place is just awful. All right, news and notes are next. Get you caught up in everything else. But, you know, I think Goodell really kind of stuck out his chest. His reasoning on this is level playing field. I get that you can't do the proper work for the draft And you know what the flip side of it is, honestly, which I didn't even mention? It's not like the old days where you can sign Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell or Cade McNown or any of these players to a monster deal and fail. With the rookie slotted system, you miss on a rookie contract, you miss on a rookie contract. It doesn't devastate the football team. It may cost you your job by drafting the wrong guy, but it's not going to set back the franchise salary cap-wise for years down the road. It can't. Look at the Jaguars right here. I still have it written down. Their 12 draft picks right now project to cost $13.1 million. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that they could be making trades. You know, who knows? 12 picks is a lot. That's 12 rookies. That's a lot of rookies. All right, news and notes coming up.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's get straight to news and notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com, based right here in Jacksonville. Joe Camerlengo and his law firm, outstanding. And if someone is injured on the road, if it is fatal on the road, and it happened because of a truck, tractor trailer, RV, bus, please get to their family the name TruckCrashLaw.com. They're the only folks who do this full-time. No one else in the state of Florida does, and they're based right here in Jacksonville. Really impressive. It is truckcrashlaw.com. Pete Prisco, earlier today on the Frangie Show, had this to say.
And I don't know how you guys feel, but I would take Jameis Winston over Gardner Minshew right now.
I have voiced my opinion on this many times over. I'll share it with you one more time since I am going on a holiday for a week. I won't. I will not do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to see this football team fill itself up around Gardner Minshew. And it's not a playoff team right now. But it could be as early as 2021. That's the way the league is structured. They could have plenty of cap space in 2021. You'd have to burn some of that cap space by paying Jameis now. He's not going to come in here on a cheap show-me deal. He's going to wait. If I'm Jameis Winston right now, and I know Cam Newton is out there, I'm going to wait because you never know. Someone could get injured. It could happen in August during training camp. It could happen early in the season, and Jameis could step right in. Just believing that he's going to accept a backup job somewhere, I don't believe that. But more importantly, I'm in here. I want to see what Gardner Minshew can do. I think he has deserved the opportunity to start, see where his growth is, and then you figure things out. More than anything, you know, I did a podcast with T-Wig, his Locked On podcast, and he was telling me that he thinks they're going to lose games next year 42-37, that they're going to be very explosive, they're going to do a lot of great things offensively. And when he gave me his scenario, my response was, well, the good news to that will be this. You know you have your quarterback. If you're scoring points like that, you know you found your guy, and it's so cost-effective to have Gardner Minshew there, and it would be so nice to understand that you do have the quarterback of your future. So I'm staying away from Jameis. And I'm a big Jameis guy. You know that, for those of you who listen. But right now I want to know if it's Gardner Minshew, and I want to find out, is he the guy? If he's not the guy, you got two first-round draft picks. You have the ability next year to go back out. There will be other quarterbacks who will be cut, others who will be free agents, others that you can select, throughout free agency as well. So I'm going to say no. Leonard Fornetto, by the way, his tweet on Cam Newton was a little interesting to me about, you know, what we do in teaming up or what. I'm sure they're buds. I'm sure they're friends, whatever. But I just hate tweets like that because it feels like you're not supporting your guy. And remember Jalen did that at the very end before he was eventually traded to the Los Angeles Rams? It's like Jalen was upset with everyone. He was going back and forth with the front office, and he was making comments and battling the fans. But once you say something within the locker room or you like something on social media, that can create a rift. And that, who knows? I mean, that may have been the final straw. And I'm not saying that's the case here for Leonard Fournette. Let me tell you this. Leonard Fournette's a much better guy than Jalen Ramsey. And you know I'm a Florida State guy. And I got along with Jalen. Leonard Fournette's a real good dude. I just trying to figure out where he's going with this particular comment. They're referencing Cam Newton. Michael Brockers, this is intriguing, maybe only to me, but I found it interesting that kind of what we talked about yesterday with Darquez Dennard, a similar situation has happened now in Baltimore where they could not get a deal done with Brockers. So he goes back to the Los Angeles Rams, a talented defensive tackle, three-year deal around $30 million. But, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I was talking about it last night with Chris Landry. It's because you can't bring guys in for the physical. You can't bring in the guys and do everything that you want with them. And, you know, the end result is now we have had two players here in the AFC who have not been able to get deals done. Darquez Dennard in Jacksonville, Michael Brockers in Baltimore. Bruce Arians did a radio show this morning, and he went on to say, no, not going to happen. We don't have the money. No fit when it comes to Antonio Brown in Tampa Bay. I believe Bruce Arians. I also believe this is a mistake. Now, it could create a tremendous amount of anxiety in the distraction in everything that is going on there in Tampa Bay. But isn't Tom Brady going to take away from that distraction? Brady was visibly upset about what happened in New England. Brown was there for one game. He got paid $9 million. I just wonder if this is 100% fact from Bruce Arians, or is this a tiny bit of gamesmanship? Or maybe you can drive the price down a little bit, get people talking about it. There's no other feelers. There's no other offers. All of a sudden, Brady's with the Arians, and Brady's like, listen, I'll personally guarantee we can get Antonio Brown in here for a year, and he'll be a model citizen. Because if so, how much better would Tampa Bay be? Tampa Bay's already got incredible weapons. Can you imagine if they added him? As much of a turd as he is as a human being, you're trying to win the game. I think they would win it. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they would be that much more productive. Most teams out there, I would say no way to Antonio Brown. But I think with Tom Brady in Tampa, to me at least, it makes a little bit of sense. All right, there you go. News and notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com right here in Jacksonville. Only law firm in the state of Florida who does this. If someone is injured on the road, even if it's fatal, on the road and it happens because of a truck, tractor trailer, RV, a bus, please contact my buddy Joe Camberlengo and his law firm. They are based in Jacksonville. Get to their family the name, truckcrashlaw.com.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
Denny Thompson.
Did I just hear you right? Did you say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did you say it's a mistake for them not to bring Antonio Brown in?
If I was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're clearly going for it with Tom Brady, I would bring in Antonio Brown.
I could be the local semi-private team, professional team, and I would not bring in Antonio Brown.
I think there's probably 29, 30 teams that right now, the Jacksonville, if this is the Jacksonville Jaguars, I would say don't bring in Antonio Brown, okay? And my reasoning on this is he'd be a huge distraction. They're not a playoff team. Tampa Bay's got a defense good enough to win now. Tampa Bay is selling out. They have tons of weapons. But I really believe, and I saw it briefly, I do follow Boston pretty quickly, you know, pretty closely in all their sports, and I saw the way it was. Granted, it was a very short period of time. I think Tom Brady could settle down Antonio Brown.
I don't disagree with anything you said about Tampa Bay. Where our disagreement is here is I don't think Antonio Brown is fit for society, period, much less a football team.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, I mean, just call it what it is. He's walking CTE now, yeah. And it's sad. At first, we made fun of him, or I made fun of him, and then I was like, you know what? I can't do that anymore because there's something legitimately wrong with this person. And I said this a couple weeks ago, if the NFL allows that man to play in the NFL again, they don't give a crap about the player's health because there is obviously something wrong with him.
I'm trying to think if there's another team in pro football that I would feel that way about.
But with him, with Antonio?
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
The only reason you feel that way is because of Brady, right? So obviously there's not anybody else.
But I think he's got – I think Brady
has – Maybe Seattle.
Brady has enough moxie and enough leadership that he can sit down with him and Bruce Arians, and you put him on the Randy Moss at Florida State, two strikes against you. I mean, Antonio, you do anything simple as jaywalk, you're gone.
No, I got you. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I get the pull of
– Most people are going to agree with you. I
get the pull of Brady. Like, that makes sense. The only other team that I could even think would be Russell Wilson like that – That would be it.
Russell Wilson is a good leader, and Pete Carroll is the consummate player's coach.
But outside of that, I can't – like, nothing pops in my head. Nothing.
Bruce Arians ain't going to put up with that crap. Remember, they had some words a year ago dating back to when Arians was the offensive coordinator under Mike Tomlin very early in Antonio Brown's career.
Well, Arians is that best and worst kind of coach
mm-hmm.
because he don't care. He'd just soon be retired.
What if Andy Reid in Kansas City? That's another one that I would think about.
I don't think – well, they couldn't with all the issues they've had recently.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Tyreek Hill.
But Mahomes is just, what, 3 years in?
Yeah.
Mahomes going to Antonio Brown is not going to work.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's going to step all over him. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I don't think the guy will ever play again, personally,
yeah.
Which is a shame because he is talented. But, no, I was just surprised to hear you say that. It was interesting.
Well, you know me. I'm in it for the shock value.
You are a shock jock.
Acid-tongued gas bag.
What time are we leaving for vacation? I've decided I'm just going with you.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to leave James here for next week. James and RJ can hold it down.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
So let's go play some golf.
I'm not leaving until Wednesday.
Oh.
I'm around
That's
here.
Not going to work for me.
I'm around here playing some golf.
Mm. I want to leave, like, now. Did you know that James and RJ really get along well?
I didn't know. Actually, I thought it was kind of like a ribbing, like an older brother, younger brother.
I think
brother.
They actually hate each other.
Do they really?
Yeah, I think so.
Did he say what I thought he said?
Yeah, he did.
All right. Well, guess what? You know what? The last thing I'm going to do is I'm heading up for a vacation. I'm not repeating any of that. I've really gotten baited tonight with some things here on the text line.
Text line popping tonight?
Well, some controversial things that I'm like, bro, I'm not going down that road. After the Mike Norvell interview and some other, you know, I'm like, no. If I was back on Monday, yeah, but the last thing I'm going to do is be on vacation and have to worry,
text us that stuff, because it's Petty Friday. We're ready to rock.
Should I
We're ready to go.
Should I not have said that? Should I have said that? So, no, I'm not even getting myself into that.
That's probably wise. Oh, you can have a good vacation, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's going to be a little bit of a different style of vacation. I mean, I was going to go to the Dominican Republic and play golf and then get up with my roommate down at old Florida State roommate down in South Florida, but obviously that's changed, so I'm just going to hang around here, play some golf, hit some beach, and then head down south on Wednesday.
There you go. Sounds like a plan to me, man.
I'm jealous. What do you guys got coming up?
Oh, I don't know, man. It is Petty Friday. We just kind of let it rip on Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah, just see if we can make it back on Monday.
But,
yeah, we will be in, though, next week, filling in for one Rick Ballew next week from 6 to 8, so we'll get out here a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try not to do anything to damage your brand.
Don't do too good that they don't ask me to come back.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You may come back to 4 hours.
Yeah. All right, man. Have fun. Appreciate you guys.
Right.
Yes, I am out next week. I'll be back the week after, and I appreciate all your comments. Listen, lot of people try to reach me. I never check the, I should say this, I never check the text line outside of when I'm on the air. But the best way to reach me, if you really need to say something to me, is on Twitter. That is Ballou1010XL, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Yes, I'll be checking Twitter during my week off and staying up with everything that is going on. So that's going to do it for us on this Friday edition. I do want to thank everyone. It's been a great week. I really have enjoyed it. RJ Saunders, you have a bang-up week as well. Stay safe.
You need to stay safe, Rick. I know you're trying to get out there, hit on the greens, but it's a jungle out there.
It is, and looking forward to it. Folks, I'll see you in 1 week back here at 6 o'clock as we go into the night with Rick Ballou.